I think that this is the first time that I've had an opportunity to introduce our brother, but I am glad that he is here with us today, and I know that he has a message for us. And I'd ask each one of you to open your hearts and your minds to those things that he has to say and how they will apply in our lives. And I'd ask now for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother Jim Yates.
Thank you, Dwayne. You know, it's interesting how things work out in our church from time to time. Glenn stood up here for Sunday school this morning, and he started off with Isaiah. He spoke quite a little bit and went through a lot of things in Isaiah, and he also spoke of Daniel, some of the prophecies in Daniel. And it just so happens that about 50% of my scriptures this morning are from Isaiah and Daniel. So you never know how things work out. I'd like to talk a little bit this morning about some of the prophecies in the scriptures concerning our church. And I would like to start in Isaiah. 7th chapter. Seventh chapter, 14th verse. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now go to the 9th chapter of Isaiah. 6th verse. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now let's go to Mosiah. Page 216. First chapter of Mosiah. I'm going to start with the 102nd verse to the 104th. And he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things from the beginning. And his mother shall be called Mary. And lo, he cometh unto his own, that salvation might come unto the children of men, even through the faith on his name. And even after all of this, they shall consider him a man, and say that he hath the devil, and shall scourge him and crucify him. These scriptures tell us of the birth of Jesus and his life hundreds of years before it happened, as far back as 742 BC. Without his birth, and the life that he lived, there would be no church. But as we read these scriptures and these prophecies of old, they tell us that he did set up his church and how he structured it. The church that he structured in his short time here on earth lasted till about 570 AD. And then came a falling away. Some 1,300 years before, in 787 B.C., Amos saw this time. Let's go to Amos. Eighth chapter. Eleventh and twelfth verse. Amos 8, 11 and 12. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst or a water, but of the hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even unto the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. The word of the Lord is gone in what the world history calls the Dark Ages. Now let's go to Daniel. Second chapter of Daniel. We find that Daniel was called upon to interpret a dream for King Nebuchadnezzar. Second chapter, 28th verse. I'll read the first half of that verse. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar of what shall happen in the latter days. Daniel interprets this dream as a great image or statue that would stand. This image represents different kingdoms to come, and where they would stand, and what part of the image they would be. We also find that in Daniel, that it took 1,260 years for this statue to stand complete from the time that 570, when the word in the church disappeared. This, too, is also not only biblical history, but world history. From 570 to 1829 and 30 comes out to that 1,260 years. In 1829, that statue stood complete in September of 1829. That statue fell in November of 1830. Belgium and the Netherlands had a civil war to divide to become two countries instead of one. So the statue was no longer as it stood. Second chapter, 44th verse, Daniel. In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to another people, but it shall break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms that we just spoke about, and it shall stand forever. This tells us that even though the church was gone and lost, it's going to be restored here on earth at the very time that these kingdoms stood whole. And the church was restored at that time and structured exactly the same as it had been when Christ set it up. Go to 1 Corinthians. Twelfth chapter, 1 Corinthians. Verse. And God hath set some in the church first apostles. He didn't say first a pope or a president or a prophet, because in this same verse it says first apostles, secondarily prophets. Thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts and healings and helps of governments, diversities of tongues. So we see that it was restored just exactly as it had been so many years ago. We are that church that was restored here in 1830. But during that 1260 years, the gospel, as Christ taught it, was absent from the earth. Many changes were made. Many plain and precious things taken and removed from the scriptures. Go to 1 Nephi, page 35. Going to start with the 165th verse. And the angel of the Lord said unto me, thou hast beheld a book, that book that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Jew. And when it proceedeth out of the mouth of the Jew, it shall contain the plainness of the gospel according to the Lord, of whom the 12 apostles bear record. And they bear record according to the truth which is in the Lamb of God. Wherefore, these things go forth from the Jews in purity unto the Gentiles, according to the truth which is in God. And after they go forth by the hand of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, from the Jews unto the Gentiles, thou seest the foundation of a great and abominable church, which is most abominable above all other churches. For behold, they taken away from the gospel of the Lamb many parts, which are plain and most precious. And also many covenants of the Lord have they taken away. And all this they have done that they might pervert the ways of the Lord, that they may blind the eyes and harden the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore thou seest that after the book hath gone forth among the hands of the great and abominable church, that there are many plain and precious things taken away from the book, which is the book of the Lamb of God. And after these plain and precious things are taken away, it goeth forth to all nations of the Gentiles. And after it go forth unto the nations of the Gentiles, yea, across the many waters which thou hast seen, with the Gentiles which have gone forth out of captivity, thou seest many of the plain and precious things which were been taken out of the book, which were plain unto the understanding of the children of men, according to the plainness which were in the Lamb of God. Because of these things which are taken away from the gospel of the Lamb, many do stumble, yea, inasmuch as Satan doth have great power over them. We might ask, did this happen? Nephi said it did or would, but did it happen? Were these things taken from the Bible? And if they were, can we find them? Yes, we can. And yes, they were taken. I was reading the other day in Catholic history. I'd like to read you something that I found in there. Then came a great schism in 1378 that lasted for 50 years. Italians elected Urban VI, and the French cardinals chose Clement VII. The popes cursed one another for years after year until the council disposed both and elected another. Pope Sixtus V had a version of the Bible prepared which he declared authentic. That great Nabombo church, tampering with the scriptures just like Nephi said. Which he declared authentic. 2 years later, Pope Clement VIII declared that it was full of errors and ordered another one to be made. So the history of that great Nabombo church proves the point that was that prophecy that was given so long ago that those things would be taken. But did we lose those plain and precious things completely? No. Let's go to Isaiah again, 29th chapter. Eleventh and twelfth verse, 29th chapter. And the vision of all this became unto you as in the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver unto one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot. For it is sealed, and the book is delivered unto him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I am not learned. So many, many years ago, and yet the prophecy came true. Let's go to the, you don't have it there, but I'll read it for you. In the outline history of the Church of Christ. After Joseph Smith had obtained the plates and transcribed a number of the characters with their translation, he sent Martin Harris, who was still aiding him in the work, to a prominent professor of languages for the purpose of getting their testimony relative to the correctness of the work at which he was doing. One of these was Professor Charles Anton of New York City. Mr. Harris tells us that when he presented the transcript with a translation to him, Professor Anton pronounced the characters to be a combination of Egyptian, Chaldaic, Assyric, and Arabic. Also that the translation was correct translation. And he told Mr. Harris if he would bring the manuscripts or the plates to him, he would help him translate. And he gave Mr. Harris a certificate saying of the genuineness of his work. However, when he asked Mr. Harris how Joseph came by the plates, Mr. Harris told him that it was religious work. And part of the plates were sealed. And he said, I cannot read a sealed book. That's what it said way back in Isaiah in the 29th chapter. That they would take it to a learned one and he would say, I cannot read a sealed book. once again, prophecy coming in true. Exactly what Isaiah had prophesied 2,551 years before. This is what he said that would happen when the Book of Mormon was brought forth, only he didn't know it as the Book of Mormon. He just saw it as a sealed book. And that book, the Book of Mormon, would bring back many of the plain and precious things that was taken from the gospel by that great and abominable church. God set forth these prophecies knowing that they would come to pass. And being an unchangeable God, one that does not lie, nor cease to be God, he has said there are more to come. In our generation, so with all the tribulation and turmoil that is yet to come, that the scriptures say will come, we can be glad instead of sad, because we see that he is truly an unchangeable God and will protect the righteous. There are those in generations past who would have liked to have lived, and maybe even some today, in the time of Christ when he preached the Sermon on the Mount, or maybe when King Benjamin spoke to his people. But the Lord had other plans for us, this generation. And this generation, if all the scriptures are true and we understand them right, we'll surely see him once again. Let's go to Acts. Acts 17. Acts 17, 26. And he hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face, all the face of the earth. And hath determined the times before appointed and their bounds of a habitation. Here we find that the Lord himself picked the time and the place that you and I were to be born and live in. And I don't think we could ask for anything any better than that. All Christians understand that we live in the latter days, the end time. Jesus spoke of these end times, which we're living in. Let's go to Matthew, 24th chapter. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And then go back the next page behind it, still in 24, 11 to 14. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, And the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then the end shall come. I pray that each one of us shall live our lives in such a way that we will not be deceived. And that each one of us may remain strong in the faith and truly endure to the end. Thank you.